You know, since we've gotten had to be inside, I have like 400 or 500 people in my phone book. So I've been calling everybody. I talk to at least 5 to 10 people a day. I've reached out to people I hadn't talked to for years. Some people I couldn't remember who they were, and then I called and found out who they were and talked to them. And they were glad to hear from me because everybody was in the house. So everybody was glad to hear from everybody. Just that human touch, somebody reaching out to you, meant a lot. Every human being loves somebody calling out, reaching out to them to find out how they're doing and to be genuinely concerned. That means a lot to all humans.
Hello and welcome to the Lori's Hands Community Voices series. I'm your host, Jennifer McCord. This season, we're hearing from clients of Lori's Hands' newest chapter in Baltimore, Maryland. Each week, we hear from a different client about their life, their stories, and their community. This week, you'll meet Pam Stanbeck-Miller. I interviewed Pam with the help of Lucy Cortez, a psychology student at the University of Maryland Baltimore College, or UMBC. Here's Lucy.
Pam, from the conversations we had, I feel like she's someone that I'd want to have around. You know, when we talked, she was very, like, relaxed, but I just feel like she's, like, a lot of fun from all her stories. So that's, like, my first impression of her yet. I think anyone who talks to her could have something to, like, take away from your conversation with her, because she does have her own ways of thinking and, like, of seeing things. But it's, I don't know, it just, like, feels, like, also very universal in a way. She seems like that type of person who's just like, I want to do this today. Like, I want to learn this thing. And she just, like, goes ahead and, like, does it. And I, like, personally think that's great, because that's something, I have a lot of ideas but don't follow through a lot. So I could definitely learn from Pam.
Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Pamela Stanbeck-Miller. I'm a participant in Lori's Hands. I was born and raised in Baltimore. I went through the city public schools and college educated in Baltimore, the whole nine yards. So Baltimore's been my home all my life. When I grew up, Baltimore, the neighborhoods were like, everybody was family. So you grew up, and they said it takes a village to raise a child. It really does. And so everybody in my neighborhood, I guess when in a 6 or 10 block radius, everybody knew everybody. Everybody knew who your mom was. Everybody knew who your dad was. Everybody knew your last name, so everybody called you by your last name. Everybody knew, when they seen you moving around, everybody knew who you belonged to. And so we belonged to the neighborhood. I live right in front of a park, so I would just go over, we could go over to the park and get on the swings and swing, or we could get on our skateboard and come down the hill on our skateboard, or I remember when it snowed, we used to get trash can tops and we would slide down in the snow. And if we didn't have a sleigh, people would get trash can tops and slide down the hill in the snow. Or we'd catch the bus and go downtown to Lexington Street and go to Lexington Market. And I remember this one shop that's been there, has been there forever. And we would go down and get a shrimp salad sandwich. Just Baltimore has everything. Baltimore's been home. I'm retired. I've been retired for about 7 years from the federal government. I had basically had two jobs my whole entire life. I started out in at Mercy Hospital as a medical secretary for 7 years. And then I went to the FBI for the other 33. So that's my 40 years of work. I started out pretty much like in a secretarial pool when I first got to the FBI. Then I did fingerprints for 16 years. I was a fingerprint examiner. And then I just went up the scale, and then I went to a management analyst, and I just ended up coming out to government as a manager. If I had to describe myself in three words, it probably would be I love to talk, I love to give, and I love to help.
One way that Pam can talk and give and help all at the same time is through sharing stories.
I think stories are very powerful, because basically, stories tell what happened, where you started from and where you ended up. And a lot of times when you talk about stories, people are sharing their personal aspects of their life, what they have overcome or what have they have gone through. I see myself basically as a sharer, or a person that gives out information, or a person that encourages people. I see myself more of one of those than really a storyteller. Sometimes when I'm telling stories, I'm telling other people's stories that I've heard. I usually am sharing something that I heard another elder tell me to help a younger person maneuver through life. Sometimes you don't really need to talk. Sometimes you need to listen when people are sharing information to you, because sometimes that's where you learn the greatest, some of your greatest, I don't know, your greatest insight sometimes comes from people just sharing with you what they've gone through or what they're going through. So you don't always need to be sharing. Sometimes you just need to be learn how to listen. I think we've lost that thing of listening to the elders, because the elders have a lot to share. I remember sitting at my grandmother's feet and just listening to her talk about just her day. She was a farmer, she was a missionary, and she went from place to place, from home to home. When people were sick, this is way back when I was a child, 50 or 60 years ago, they didn't have like what they have now, all these companies that would come by and help people that were sick. They had the neighborhood or your neighbor or your church member would go from place to place if that person was sick. And my grandmother was a missionary, so she would go and she would help people out. Maybe she would clean their house, or she had me help me, had me folding clothes, or she washed clothes, or she plait kids' hair, and then she would take them food. And so that had a great impact on who I am today, because I have a heart. I always have a heart to give or to help. And that came from my grandmother. I'm involved with the hospital for the sick children. I'm involved with the Wounded Warriors. I've been sponsoring a child overseas, I guess, for the past 12 years. I was visiting nursing homes. I was visiting friends that was at nursing homes. And I was part of the Red Hatters, and we do different things for older adults. I always reached out for people to help people, or find out, you know, talk to people, or try to encourage people, or share information that I get, or just, I mean, that's why we are here. We are here to help.
This active energy Pam has about giving, she brings this to every area of her life, especially before the pandemic.
I was jumping on buses, going on bus trips. I was going to the senior centers. I was going to other places, and just I was everywhere. And I was just taking line dance and all kinds of games. And I was volunteering over here and helping over here. And so I was very, 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 very active life and very full life.
Once COVID hit, a lot of that had to change. But Pam's Laurie's hands volunteer, Erica, was able to help Pam stay connected.
I didn't really need any help with shopping or light cleaning. That's one of the couple of the services that Laurie Hands provides. But she did help me with Zoom, and we came on several calls on Zoom online. She brought me on and showed me how to do it.
So Pam is filling up her schedule again.
So I've got back to line dancing. I'm doing my line dancing on Zoom, and then I still have my class with my instructor on Mondays and Zoom on Tuesdays.
She also joins a weekly call on healthy aging.
It's informational, pretty much, is where people come on, doctors, lawyers, nurses, professional people come on and discuss different topics about what's going on and what's the resources that are needed by the older adults, all the services that are provided throughout the city and the state. And we discuss those topics so that everybody that's an older adult will know what's going on and what services they can get and what they can use to help them navigate throughout life.
But Pam doesn't just join the call.
Well, I'm like one of the people to help her navigate the Zoom call. I guess I'm like the co-anchor on this call. She talks to the professionals, and I just navigate the Zoom.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I am not at all surprised to hear, but like, I think it's worth noting that you mentioned just a couple months ago that you were asking for some assistance with Zoom and getting comfortable with that. And here you are, like, in this official capacity, like, helping with Zoom for some organization.
Yep. I'm going to be better coming out than I was going in on everything. That is my goal.
And everything includes the little things, too.
Just go outside and maybe touch, feel the warm sun on your hand or on your arm or something when you go outside. And just opening your car door and just feeling that sunlight touch, that brings joy. I'm a summer person. I love the beach, and I love the summertime, so I just enjoy the weather. And this is another thing I do. I chew bubble gum. I still chew bubble gum. So when I chew my bubble gum, I'm in thought. I'm in deep thought. I'm just meditating, talking to God. And so on some of my low days, I would just talk to myself about how blessed. I would look out my window and see the squirrels running up and down the trees, and they're chasing each other all over the yard. And then one's knocking the other one out of the tree, and they're playing a game. But I think watching the sky, the beautiful blue sky, and the flowers and the birds and the trees and the little animals that were coming through my yard, and the green grass, and you know, the season change and all of that, was just so grounding, because it lets you know that there is something greater than you are.
And even during the most isolated phase of the pandemic, Pam found ways to connect with people.
You know, since we've had to be inside, I have like 400 or 500 people in my phone book. So I've been calling everybody. I talk to at least 5 to 10 people a day. I've reached out to people I hadn't talked to for years. Some people I couldn't remember who they were, and then I called and found out who they were and talked to them. And they were glad to hear from me, because everybody was in the house. So everybody was glad to hear from everybody. Just that human touch, somebody reaching out to you, meant a lot. Every human being loves somebody calling out, reaching out to them to find out how they're doing, and to be genuinely concerned. That means a lot to all humans. I called my husband's ex and talked to her. My husband said, "Wow, you were really bored today. You called her. You going through the book. You're calling everybody." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I didn't have no me and her got along very well." So I just called her and see how she was checking on her. See how she had moved to Florida, and I called to talk to her, and she was doing great. But I did reach out to a cousin that I hadn't really had an estranged relationship with, but I had a distant relationship with. And I decided to make peace with everybody. I didn't want to have anybody that I had made peace with. So I reached out to her. Not that we had anything against each other. We just don't talk that often. I just felt like, because sometimes you have to be the person that gives an olive branch. So I said I would give her an olive branch. And she, normally very difficult to talk to, but for some reason, as I've grown, she has grown. So she wasn't that difficult after all, because you know how sometimes you put things off and you really don't want to deal with certain people, and you think of them the way that you last thought of them. And meanwhile, years and years go by and time goes by, and they grow and you grow. But with whatever reason, we had a beautiful conversation, and it was very refreshing, and she was very pleasant. As a matter of fact, I called her nephew, which is my first cousin, and said to him, "You need to reach out to her, you know, make whatever peace you can make with her. That's his last aunt, and they're not that close." And I said, "Well, yeah, you need to reach out to her from time to time." And he was like, okay, because, you know, I guess he was like, "Why are you getting on me?" And I was like, "Well, I called her, so if I can call and make peace, smooth everything out, then you should be able to do it as well." So, yes, something good came out of that.
And that wasn't the only good thing to come out of it. Long after our interviews with Pam, this conversation stuck with Lucy, too.
Because as a socially, like, awkward person, I think it was just, like, really good to hear that someone doing something that you wish you could do. For me personally, like, being in college and pretty much all of my friends have graduated, and I'm the last one. So it's just, like, everyone's very busy, and I think sometimes people tend to overthink things. But, like, keeping what Pam said, like, in mind, it's just, like, no, just, like, just reach out, you know? Like, sometimes people are waiting for you to reach out. So why not, like, follow in Pam's footsteps?
All of the phone calls Pam made, the easy ones and the tough ones, spring from one of her fundamental philosophies.
So we are made that way. We're made for relationships. We made what God made us relational. We don't thrive well if we don't have relationships. Relationships help you thrive. They help you grow. They help you mature. They take away that spot in your spirit or in your soul that's lonely, because you're always yearning to have communication with other people. So that's pretty much what life is. Different relationships all connected.
Pam walks the walk on this in other ways too, in the diversity of ages among her friend group.
I like to meet people. I never meet a stranger. I've always had a heart for older adults. So all my friends are much, at least 10 or 15 years older than I am. And I like meeting young people. I think that's a very important piece, that we stay in touch with the younger people so that they can understand us and we can understand them.
And in how she defines family?
Well, I'm actually an only child. I have adopted all these other people that I've made my brothers and sisters. So I've adopted two women that are my sisters, and I adopted some men that are my brothers. So they're my spiritual family that I have adopted.
And even in how she receives gifts from other people.
I remember my mom telling me when I was very young that when people give you something, appreciate it. Sometimes people give you things that they think is valuable to them. So it's not always for you all the time. It's about the person took the time out to do it. That means more to me now at this point in my life as an older adult than what the gift is.
And a lifetime of investing in and working on her relationships has informed how Pam thinks about the wisdom she's gained over the years.
So it's necessary to go through the cycle of life and not skip any parts. So that you get older, you'll be really mature. You won't be an old person that's not mature, because that's one of the saddest things is get to maturity, get older, and you're not mature. And going through those hard knocks and going through those valleys and those peaks, that's what matures you. Skipping over steps, that don't mature you. Getting to be an older person, that don't necessarily mature you. Everybody seems to want everything like a microwave lifestyle. Well, like a microwave, you put it in there and it comes out and it's ready to go. Life doesn't work that way. You have to go through the steps. Everybody has to go through each step of life and that phase. And it's an important reason why you have to go through that, because you, in that part, what you're trying to skip over, you learn so much about yourself, because you have to find out what your strengths and your weaknesses are.
After hours of interviews, I still don't think I could name a single one of Pam's weaknesses. But I'm not surprised that getting to know her own weaknesses and really getting comfortable with them has become one of Pam's many strengths. Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Lori's Hands Community Voices. This episode was produced by Lucy Cortez, Lexi Smith, and me, Jennifer McCord. Special thanks again to Pam Stanbeck-Miller for sharing her time and stories with us. You can find out more about Lori's Hands at lorishands.org or on social media. And we invite you to tune in again next week to meet Antoinette Suarez.
I don't want to be bothered with anything if I can't be good in it. I don't want to waste my time. You know, so I worked at being really, really good. And I also think that I was coming in at the time when it was mostly men working. And I would say that I guess I'm kind of competitive. Being a female, my hands were smaller. I could handle more delicate work, and it helped me to excel. It helped me to get a name out there as a dental technologist.
Until next time, take care of each other.